Christ's sake and glory. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're turning again to that passage of Scripture read earlier, to Ephesians chapter number 6. The title really to our message today is the Believer's Strength. The Believer's Strength. And in dealing with that subject, we want to look in particular at the words of verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, which is really our text in dealing with this subject, where it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, speaking to the Lord's people, the Bible says, "Fight the good fight of faith." And those words really show that the believer is to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. And we are often reminded of that very truth in some of the great old Christian hymns that we love to sing. Think in particular of those words, "Onward Christian soldiers, marching as toward." And by those words, the hymn writer reminds the Christian, the believer, that they are called to the scene of time to be a soldier in the army of the Lord, a soldier for Jesus Christ. Now, Paul the Apostle was one who was ever aware of this same great truth. And in this final chapter here of Ephesians chapter 6, he speaks in particular to us about the Christian's warfare. And not only the warfare of the Christian, but also the armor that every Christian must put on in fighting that warfare. Yes, he knew that every believer, whoever he is, whoever she is called to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. And my, just as every soldier in any earthly army needs to be strong for the day of battle, so the Christian soldier also must be spiritually strong and spiritually courageous if they are to fight this good fight of faith. And Paul, he himself here outlines the importance of this truth and the need for spiritual strength. In the words of our text today, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, when he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, prior to these words in chapter 5 of this book and the early verses of chapter 6, if you read those for yourself sometime, you'll see that Paul is speaking specifically there to different groups of Christians. He addresses the Christian husband, the Christian wife. He speaks to children, to Christian parents. He speaks to workers, to servants, employees. He speaks to masters and to employers about living the Christian life. And as he comes to the end of that advice, he says to all these different groups of people, in the words of our text in verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And with these words here in verse number 10, he was seeking to encourage these different Christians in their different callings in life, in their different vocations, be it as a father, a husband, a wife, a master, a servant, a worker, whatever. He is encouraging them to live a victorious life for Christ. He is encouraging them in their different sphere of life, whatever standing it was in society, to be bold for God and to be courageous for their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence he says here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And child of God, can I say to you this morning here in this meeting that the same advice here of Paul that he gave to these Christians many years ago, the same advice, it applies to you and I as well in this gathering today. Yes, in our daily life. Whatever our standing in life is, whatever our calling in life is, whatever that vocation is in our daily life, we are to be victorious for God. We are to war a good warfare for God. We are to fight a good fight for Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to the kingdom to do at this particular time. And if this is to be so, then we need to be spiritually strong as God's people. We need to be bold for Christ. We need to be courageous for Christ, depending upon the strength and the grace of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for that reason, then, that I want us to look at these words in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. For here I believe we find the secret of the believer's strength. Notice, first of all, here with me from these words how every believer needs spiritual strength. Every believer needs spiritual strength. Look at what Paul says. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And these words really show the Ephesian Christians that they needed spiritual strength in their day and generation. You think of a sailing ship this morning, if we might use that by way of illustration. Think of a sailing ship. Yes, it may have its tackle, it may have its sails and all the rest and its crew, but that sailing ship needs wind in its sails. If it is to move, if it is to go forward, if it is to go anywhere and do anything. And likewise, these believers here at Ephesus in the day of the Apostle Paul, Christian fathers, mothers, husbands, children, parents, masters, servants, whatever, they needed spiritual strength in their soul if they were to accomplish anything for God and be victorious for God in their day and generation. And believer, can I say the same need applies to you and I also? Yes, you and I, we need spiritual strength. If we are to do anything for God, if we are to leave a mark for God here on earth, you think of what is said in the book of Isaiah to the Christian. It says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees." And the implication of those words is our need of spiritual strength, our need of spiritual power. My, as Christians, yes, as those who are saved, you and I, we need strength to battle. Battle against the evils of this world, this ungodly world. Listen to what John says to the Christian about the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, he says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, not of God." And there John is really telling us and showing us that the world is no friend to God, no friend to God's people. Therefore, as Christians, we need strength to resist the evil ways and strategy of this ungodly world. We need strength to do that. The Bible says to you and I who are saved, it says, "Be not conformed to this world." Lo, living in the world, we're not to be conformed to the world. The world is not to dictate to us or control us in our thinking as Christians, in our worship, in our service for God, and how we live as Christians. We're not to be ruled by the spirit of this evil and ungodly world. We are to resist the world. It says, "Be not conformed to the world." And also as believers, as Christians in this earth, we've got to battle with that old sinful nature within until we reach heaven itself. The Christian will only have a perfect nature whenever they get to heaven. Turn with me back to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. Look with me, please, at verse 18 and verse number 19 of Romans chapter 7. And here Paul is speaking himself personally, testifying of that battle in his own life, of that old nature, that old sinful flesh within as a believer. Look at what he says in verses 18 and 19 of Romans chapter 7. He says, "For I know..." This is something he was very aware of, very conscious of as a Christian. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." And there he speaks of a battle between good and evil, between the new nature and the old nature in his heart and life as a Christian. Paul knew that he needed strength to battle against that old nature. And dear Christian in the meeting, can I say, you and I also, we need strength to overcome that old sinful nature within us as the people of God, that old nature that will remain until we get to heaven. Our nature will only be perfect when we get to heaven, when we get to glory. Recently there, I was listening to a testimony of a faithful servant of God, man who has lived faithfully and served the Lord faithfully for many, many years, saved young in life, and has battled well for God, and he was giving a word of testimony, and he spoke still of that battle against the old nature in his heart and life and soul day by day, being just as fierce, being just as strong as it was when he was young and recently converted to Christ. You see, that battle with the old nature never goes away for the child of God until we leave this stage, this scene of time, and enter into heaven and into glory. And then also as God's people, we have an ongoing battle as Christians with the devil himself. And look at how Paul here warns the Christians in particular here at Ephesus of this. Look at what he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number, or Ephesians 6, verse 11. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Notice that word wiles there. Mark it in your Bible. What does it mean? There he's really speaking of the attack of the devil upon God's people, upon the church of Christ, speaking there of the strategy of the devil and his attacks against God's people. And that is something that's very real in the life of every Christian. The devil attacks. And how does he attack the Christian? The Bible shows us that he attacks by deception. He would seek to deceive you and I by false prophets, by wolves in sheep's clothing. He would seek to deceive you and I by going a wrong pathway, going off on a tangent away from God. He also attacks us by accusation. He is the accuser, the Bible says, of the brethren. And he accuses us of our past sins and faults and failings and shortcomings as Christians. He uses these to hinder us and to get us down as God's people. And then he attacks by temptation, by seeking to lead the Christian to do something that is wrong and contrary to the Word of God and the ways of God for his life. You know, there's a style of evangelism today, and you will find it in certain places. Maybe Christians are well-meaning in this, but they will say, if a person gets saved, the battles of life are all over. There's no more trouble for the Christian. That's not true. That's not scriptural. There is a very real attack to the Christian. And many a Christian have said when they're saved, giving a word of testimony, if they didn't believe in a devil before they're saved, they certainly believe in the devil after they're saved. And my, when you're saved, the devil is your number one adversary. Never forget that, dear Christian. And he fires fiery darts against you as a believer. Darts of accusation, darts of deception, darts of temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, read about it when you go home. It speaks there of his attack upon Christ, our Savior, who himself was sinless, who resisted that attack. And if he attacked Christ here on earth, and he did, he will most surely attack you and I who are saved. You remember the words of Peter, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And Peter had first-hand experience of that in his own life as a Christian, as a disciple. Mrs. Cowman and her husband Charles were faithful missionaries in the land of Japan in the early 1900s, faithfully served the Lord there and were used by God in that place and in many other places. And later on in life, Mrs. Cowman was giving advice to any going forward in the work of God, in particular, and to missionary work. And she says, one of the things that every prospective missionary needs to realize and understand in the work of God, there's a very formidable foe and adversary against them. That is the devil himself. Never to underestimate his power or his strategy against the people of God and the church of Christ. And my, she was a woman who had proved the Lord in many, many difficult times and situations. But she was right in what she said. Our text here says, "Brethren, be strong." And my, because, dear Christian, of our battle with the world, with the flesh and with the devil, you and I, yes, we need spiritual strength. Yes, we see here the believer's need of spiritual strength. But the second thing here to note in connection with our text is this, that is that every believer has no spiritual strength of their own. Every believer has no spiritual strength of their own. Verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And when Paul spoke those words there to the Christians at Ephesus, he was reminding them that they had no spiritual strength of their own. This is a very important truth for them to learn. And likewise, it's an important truth for us as God's people. It's the same with you and I who are saved today in and of ourselves. We have no spiritual strength whatsoever. My, you and I, we have no natural ability. None whatsoever to do anything for God. We have no natural ability in and of ourselves to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. You think of a company or business, whenever it declares bankruptcy, that company, that business is no longer able to work. It's no longer able to finance itself. Well, by nature, you and I, we are spiritually bankrupt. We have no natural power whatsoever to do anything for God or to fight the good fight of faith for God. And people, this is a truth that we are reminded of time after time in the Scriptures. Remember what Christ said to his disciples? In John 15, verse 5, he said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And you and I, we can do nothing spiritually in and of ourselves. And the great apostle Paul was all too conscious of this reality in his own life, for he said in his letter to the Philippians, "We have no confidence in the flesh." He had no confidence in anything of himself. Turn with me back to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, way back to the middle part of the Old Testament. If you move a few books back from the Psalms, you'll come to 2 Chronicles and to the chapter number 20 of 2 Chronicles. Here you read of godly King Jehoshaphat, one of the godliest kings of Judah that you can read about in the Old Testament. And here there was a great confederacy of enemies against him and against God's people. But there's one thing here that Jehoshaphat wisely understood and saw, it was that he had no might himself or in the people of Israel to fight against this enemy. Look at what he says to God in verse number 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. He says in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles verse 20, he says, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we want to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Notice in particular those words there in the middle of verse 12. We have no might. He knew his weakness. He knew he had no ability or strength, naturally speaking, in himself or in the people of Israel to deal with this enemy and the onslaught that was about to unfold upon them. He says here to the Lord, "We have no might. We are weak. We are helpless. We are hopeless in and of ourselves." And people of God, this is a truth that we as Christians must never lose sight of in our Christian life. My, we are totally bereft of any spiritual power, naturally speaking, in and of ourselves. Yes, we must confess with Jehoshaphat in that verse, as we think today of our battle as Christians with the world and the flesh and the devil, we must say, yes, we too have no might of our own. We have no strength of our own, no ability of our own whatsoever. You know, in many ways, you and I as believers, we're just like a little baby. When a baby is born into this world, yes, that baby has life. That baby has beauty. But that baby is weak, that baby is helpless, and it needs its mother's care, its mother's nursing. And well, as God's children, yes, we have new life from God. Our sins are all forgiven. We are covered in the beautiful robe of Christ's perfect righteousness, and we have a place for sure, guaranteed, in heaven. But in and of ourselves, here on earth, we are weak, naturally speaking. The hymn writer reminds us of that very truth when they say, "The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own." We are weak, in and of ourselves. Yes, every believer needs spiritual strength. Every believer has no spiritual strength of their own. But notice one final thought here from our text. And this really is, I believe, the highlight of this text. And it is this. The believer's strength is in Christ alone. The believer's strength is in Christ alone. Look again at what Paul says here in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. He says, finally, my brethren. That word finally really means this is something vitally important for these Christians. As Paul brings this letter to a close, here he is coming to the climax of his message to this church. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice those words there, in the Lord. And again, the little phrase there, in the power of his might. Paul was pointing these Christians, fathers, mothers, husbands, children, workers, servants, masters. He was pointing them to the Lord in living the Christian life. He was telling the Ephesian believers that all the strength they needed to live the Christian life, it was in the Lord, their Savior, their Redeemer. In other words, Christ was the answer to all their need, all their battles, and fighting the good fight of faith here in their need, here on earth. Christ was the answer to it all. He was the Alpha and the Omega of that whole battle for them. Paul had previously in this letter reminded them of this very same power. You go back with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse number 19, and here he is speaking to these believers about the power of God and their salvation. And he says in Ephesians 1, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Notice the double mention there of the power of God at work in the life of these believers, these Christians. He reminds them there that their salvation was all of the power of God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3 and the verse number 16. And here you have one of the great prayers of the Apostle Paul for God's people, in particular for this church at Ephesus. And look at what he prays for them in verse 16 of Ephesians 3. He prays from there that they would know more of this power at work in their lives. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He was praying that they would know more of God's power in their heart and life as God's people. And child of God, in the meeting this morning, let me say this. All the strength that you need to live the Christian life, be it a father, be it as a mother, be it as parents, be it as a husband, be it as a wife, be it as a servant, a worker, an employee, be it as a master, or if you like, an employer, whatever, all the strength you need for your Christian life, whatever your calling in life is in Christ. It is in Christ alone. It says here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All the power that you and I need to live the Christian life is not in ourselves. It's not in the church. It's not in man. It's in the Lord, our Savior. He who says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And his power, his grace for us has not changed and has not diminished. The Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You think of the words of Charles Wesley, one of the founding fathers of the Methodist movement, and that great hymn that he wrote, speaking of Christ as the lover of his soul, he said these words. He says, thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. He was exalting Christ. He knew that his every need was met in Christ. How right he was. You think of Christ today, your child of God, when he was here on earth. What did he do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the poor and hungry. He controlled the winds and the seas. Even the very creatures of the sea and the beasts of the earth were under his command. Even the very devils themselves and the demons of hell were subject unto him. Such was his power. Believer, this really proves to us that Christ is sufficient. What a Savior we have today, one who is altogether sufficient. He is sufficient. He is able, Christian, to meet your every need in life today. Whatever that need is, He is altogether sufficient to help you through the journey of life, through the days of your life, until you reach heaven itself. He is Alpha, the Bible says. He is Omega. The Bible says He is our all and all. And Christian, He says to you today in this meeting, He says, fear thou not. I will help you. That's the Lord Jehovah speaking, your Savior. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness, and His perfect strength is perfected in our weakness, in our inability, in our hopelessness, in and of ourselves. Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Turn with me back to Psalm 27. And I love this verse. I love this Psalm, Psalm 27. Look at how David begins it. It was a time of great trial for David. But notice how he has hope in the Lord. His confidence was in the Lord. He says in verse 1 of Psalm 27, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Look at these words. The Lord is the strength of my life. And Christian, get a grasp of this truth today. You who are saved a long time, you are saved recently, young or old, man or woman, boy or girl, who are saved in this gathering. Christ and Christ alone is the strength of your life here on earth. And what a strength He is. What a rock He is. He is the eternal rock of ages who fails not. You know, in all our homes today, I'm sure I'm right in saying this, we all have electricity. As I look over the gathering, I don't know anyone here that doesn't have electricity in your home. And you know, the power of that electricity is channeled into our homes. How? By wires and cables from around the grid. Well, child of God, it's by believing prayer that you and I can receive and know God's strength and power in our lives. This is the teaching of the Scriptures. Turn with me back to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And you'll find Isaiah a few books after the book of the Psalms. Isaiah chapter 40. Go right down to the very end of the chapter. It's a chapter really all about the power of the Lord. But look at verse number 31 of Isaiah chapter 40. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a promise. They that wait upon the Lord. That speaks of prayer. Shall renew their strength. And it's by seeking God's power in prayer that you and I can receive strength day by day to live the Christian life, to fight the good fight of faith. And believer, let me say this to you this morning, that prayer is our lifeline. It's the Christian's vital breath. It's our lifeline by which we obtain God's power for our personal lives. It's our lifeline by which we obtain power and blessing for the church and for the work of God at home and abroad. And people, that is why personal prayer, private prayer, is vital in our lives as Christians. And I'm asking you today, Christian, is there time in your life, day by day, for prayer, for seeking God, for calling upon God? If you are too busy to pray, then you're too busy. Give time daily for prayer. And again, this is why the public prayer meeting is so important. It is the lifeline of the church. It is the lifeline that leads to power and blessing in the work of God and the cause of Christ. And how, as Christians, we should do all we can, especially in these days in which we're living, to be at the public place of prayer, to seek God and to call upon His name. Believer, it's by looking to the Lord and believing prayer that you'll receive God's grace and God's power to live the Christian life, to serve the Lord in your daily life. In light of that fact, as Christians, then let us ever be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If you're in the meeting today, you're listening in, you're still unsaved, still out of Christ, let me say this, that Christ is all you need for salvation. Only Christ can take away the burden of your sins. Only Christ can bring you to heaven. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Only Christ can save you from the guilt and the power of sin and the condemnation of sin in your life. Christ is the only Savior from sin. He has provided this salvation. How? By coming to this world and dying on the cross, shedding His blood as a sacrifice for sinners, and rising again. That's the great message of the gospel. The Bible says, for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And if you are to be saved from the ruin of your sin, the awful judgment of God upon you in hell for your sin, if you're to be delivered from the wrath to come, you must come unto Christ in faith and in repentance. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you longing today to be saved from your sin, saved from hell, sure of heaven? Then come now by faith to Christ. Repent of your sins and trust Him as your Savior. And you will not be disappointed in Christ. It will be well with your soul. Oh, without Christ today as your Savior, you have no hope. You're hopeless. You're helpless. But in Christ as Savior, you will have hope for time. Not only for time, but for all of the great eternity to come. Paul, writing to those who were saved in the church at Colossae, said this to them. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ was in their hearts. They'd received Christ by faith to be their Savior. They had the hope of glory lying before them. And friend, that can be your hope today too, if you receive Christ by faith. Trust Him today to be your Savior. Your sins dealt with, washed away by the blood of Christ. I know what it is to be saved by God's grace for time and all of eternity. We're going to close our meeting in prayer. I'll be going to the door to greet you as you leave. But if there's one here today and there's a concern in your heart, you're not saved, I urge you today to come to the Lord, to seek the Lord. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'll be in no hurry away. Be glad to open up the Scriptures with you and point you to Christ. It's not the preacher you need, it's Christ you need. He alone is the Savior of sinners. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us in this meeting house today. Bless Thy word and bless Thy truth to all our hearts today. Help us as Your people in our homes, in our workplaces, and in our interaction with others in the community to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. In those times of testing and sickness and trial, whatever they are, Lord, help us to realize that all our need is in Christ and to lean upon Thee, we pray. For any, Lord, in the meeting today or listening in unsaved and they have no hope, they're separated from God, Lord, speak to them today, Lord. May they close in with Christ and trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Part us now with Thy fear and favor. Take us to our separate homes and safety. Give us traveling mercies while man's voice is silent. Speak on and return us again in Thy will this evening hour to the gospel meeting. We pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen.